Sometimes people think that I need to do this and then I'm done A/B testing. You know what I mean? So like if I do this, I run this test and I get this answer, then now I'm done and I can go back to all the things that I used to do. And for that, I would argue that A/B testing and split testing is a religion. It's something that we do. It's a practice. It's a behavior, and it never ends.
Is your marketing team just guessing which banner, copy, or call to action drives the most clicks and conversions? You need to eliminate speculation and activate data-backed decisions. Today, we explore how leading B2B brands use A/B testing to improve campaign effectiveness while boosting bottom-line impact.
Are you a startup founder or CMO trying to grow your brand? There's good news. You're not the first. Our growth team is committed to learning and earning the skills and strategies high-growth companies have used to build their businesses. And now, we're sharing them with you. Welcome to Growth Team Radio.
Welcome to Growth Team Radio. I'm your host, Mallory Kuhn. I'm joined today again by Kevin Barber, founder and head of growth at Lean Labs. Hi there, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm looking forward to this episode. Let's make marketing profitable again.
Yes, right? So we are going to be talking about A/B testing today, as we teased in our last episode, which if you haven't listened to our last episode, take this opportunity, pause, go back, check out our episode on lead gen, and then come back and hang out with us. Or you could just listen to this one and listen to that one next, if you choose. But let's start very high level, as we generally tend to do. We start high level and then we really drill in as we go. But what is A/B testing? Why does it matter?
Right. So let's talk about why it's important. It's because your stuff is not converting. Right. And if your competitors are able to outconvert you, then they're able to outspend you. And if they're able to outspend you, then they're able to outplace you. And if they're able to outplace you, outspend you, and outgrow you, then eventually, I actually question whether you're still in business if we play this out long enough, right? So if you cannot outposition, outengage, outconvert, so ultimately outspend and outgrow, then you will never become the market leader. So A/B testing, it exists as a method to get to peak performance. It's a method to get peak performance where you can develop an edge on customer acquisition over your competitors. And if you're not looking for an edge in customer acquisition above your competitors, then you are not approaching marketing right.
Because, what are you doing?
Right. What are we doing here? Right. So that's the deal. And what is A/B testing? It is a more scientific approach. It's a scientific approach of testing ideas to figure out what works and what doesn't. Now, you will definitely learn what works and what doesn't. But I do want to let you know, it won't tell you why. So you'll learn what works and what doesn't, but we won't necessarily learn why. But if you do it over a period of time, the pattern will emerge and you will see it, you know, and that can level up all aspects of your marketing. Like A/B tests over on the left side of the field can help you on the right side of the field because everything you learned over on the left side of the field. So think of it as a process of using data to figure out what customers want and make your marketing profitable so that you have that edge to out-convert your competition.
Yeah. Well, let's edify you further if we need to even, but for our audience, what is your experience using A/B testing? How have you used this approach to optimize campaigns, marketing efforts, all of those things for our clients and ourselves?
Right. So our company's Lean Labs. And we help companies make their marketing profitable so they can scale. We're focused on the SaaS and tech space, and we've been doing this for a decade. So, you know, in a decade where we have had a consistent, nearly religious is a set of beliefs that drives your behavior. We've had a religious conviction to drive A/B testing for a decade. We might have done a little bit. Oh, and by the way, I was a consultant for 10 years before that, trying to solve problems of things not converting. So we might have done just a little bit of testing in our years. We might have been able to drive, you know, definitely into the 7 and 8 figures of results as a result of figuring out why our stuff isn't converting where it needs to be, how we go from below benchmarks to at benchmarks to, you know, in some cases, but honestly, not every case, beating benchmarks. right, for core offers and now allow us to get, that's where the wins come from, is when you get it dialed in, we're actually beating benchmarks, right? So what does that look like for your customer? It looks like for your customer, you're delivering them the exact experience they want. How do you get there? Well, you try various iterations to get closer, closer, closer. Oops, nope, farther, 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 go back, closer, closer to the goal until you achieve it. Cool?
Cool. Well, let's say I am just getting started, right? I've never used this approach before. I know that I have a lead magnet, something in my campaign that is not working. It's not delivering the results that I wanted. Where should I get started? Where should companies get started with A/B testing their campaigns? What's step one?
All right. Step one is to see if you're willing to do what A/B testing teaches you. And that's to actually follow the data. Are you willing to follow the data? If it says, I need to refine this because it's underperforming, so therefore I'm going to start launching some tests about it. Are you willing to actually, you know, refine it? Are you willing to actually change it? And here's the deal. It's not just refining it. Are you willing to revamp it? Are you even willing to retire it? Because like our view of launching something is launching it in itself as a test. And if I can't get that to benchmarks of conversion rates that I consider to be acceptable, by the way, all the benchmarks are in our Growth Grader, growthgrader.com. The deal is that I need to either revamp it or retire it, because if I'm performing below benchmarks, that lead magnet does not advance my business. It slows it down. So I got to be willing to kill ideas. That's the first step. Just because you have an idea. And a lot of times, you know what we actually kill sometimes? My own ideas. My own ideas you have to be willing to kill your own ideas in order for A/B testing to work. If you're not going to do that, then you know what you need to do? You need to still do A/B testing, but you can't be on the team. So right. You need to give them the authority to go off there and
delegate
do it without you, because you're too bought into the status of who his idea was. So that's the first step, if you don't mind.
Yeah. I think that's a great first step. And, you know, it kind of reminds me, we sometimes on the show, you know, talk about my other life. I'm a fiction author, and we call that process killing your darlings, right? You need to make the work as a whole stronger. You need to be willing to cut your favorite parts if they're not working. So I think that's really valuable for this context as well. So say I'm just getting started trying to optimize my efforts. We're still in that headspace. What key pages, assets, should I be looking at for those first early testing rounds? What should I be prioritizing?
Right. So I'm going to start broad on you. And as you mentioned, we'll go a little bit more detail as we go. The first thing you should be testing is your conversion points. So these are generally your landing pages, your demo pages, your proposal pages, your lead magnet pages, the things that you're putting for people to convert on in ads, right? Your subscription offers, all of those, all of the conversion points, places with a form or a credit card or a calendar widget, right? All those. Second thing you should be, testing. So first one is conversion points. Second one is click points. Well, these are the CTAs themselves, right? The ad itself, the link inside of the email itself, not the page that it goes to, but the link in the email. I bet I can double the clicks in the email. I bet I can double the clicks on the ad. I bet I can double the number of clicks in the blog post. So the first, the conversion point of where I'm sending them, then this click point of how they got there, right? And then once you have the conversion points working and the click points working, then it's the exit points. It's all the pages of your website or your funnel that suck. Where are people leaving, right? And how can I, here's the deal. If instead of leaving, they're clicking, you're advancing them in the buyer journey. And when they're leaving, it's because they didn't see or hear what they needed to in order to see that right now is the time to move forward. You're getting all the data you need. You just don't, of what's happening, you just don't know exactly why. A/B testing is about testing why that might be to figure out where you're right and where you're wrong. So conversion points, click points, exit points are the prioritization for testing.
Perfect. So when we're looking for those points, like what are some core web elements that make good candidates. So like a little more specific than, you know, simply a click point or a conversion point. What are some elements we should be looking at?
Yeah. So from an asset perspective, yes, we're talking about landing pages. We're talking about emails. We're talking about CTAs. We're talking about ads. We're talking about even our LinkedIn posts, especially if we're out there promoting it, boosting it, et cetera. But now what do we post? What are we testing inside of that? Like now let's talk about elements inside of those assets, right? We're talking about the page title at the top of the page, probably the most effective aspect. Like at the end of the deal, the rest of the page only edifies the promise at the top. And the only part that you can have with some certainty that they're likely to glance at is the title at the top, right? So the subject of your email before they even open it, right? The first line of your email, the title of your landing page, the graphic that edifies and reinforces the title of your landing page, all of the bold text inside of your email, sales page, landing page, right? Bold text, all of the bullets, because people scan, all of the subheadlines inside of your page. Here's another one, the button text, the thing they actually click. Those are some of the elements that are prime for A-B testing.
Yeah, so I think that kind of leads me to another question that I have, because those elements are pretty granular, right? Like we're talking about lines, text on a button, right? Like smaller, we're not talking necessarily about a full overhaul of an entire everything on the page, right? Like for page A to be completely different from page B, how different should two pages or, you know, conversion points, how different should they be in an A-B test?
Right. So early on in your A-B testing career, you may be motivated to test multiple ideas at a single time. But if you want to, if I can help you make this one change, this podcast will be worth it. You actually want to test one single change to figure out if that change makes it better or worse, right? And it's less about just making it better, but more about finding out, does this change help or hurt? Okay, does this change help or hurt by how much, right? Well, if this change helps, but it helps by this much, well, I may not roll that out everywhere, like a tiny bit. But if it helps by a huge amount, if it makes a significant change, then I need to make sure I pass that across to my entire team of this is what I'm seeing. And like, that's the deal. So think of it like this. A-B testing is a way, because you know data tells you that it's underperforming or performing, but it doesn't tell you why. If you test one idea at a time, you get to find out why. You know, that is performing better and why. So A-B testing is really about testing one element at a time. But that doesn't mean that you should be that doesn't mean that A-B testing will always work. Because one of the things that happens is yes, we want to split test one lesson at a time, right? And yes, we want to get to a statistically relevant result with that test, which means we want to have enough of a data pool that we know that results because of that change, not just the season that it is, went from December to January, for example. And the deal is that I just want you to know that there's a secondary warning, which is, you know, while you're testing this one element at a time, you can't put lipstick on a pig. So sometimes one of the mistakes that happens inside of this testing one element at a time, is you're testing it on a really crappy, low-performing, under-converting offer that's just never going to get there. Maybe you get it 3% better here and 5% better here and 7% better here, and it's still way below benchmarks. So just A-B testing is not the vehicle for massively underperforming offers. If your demo is converting at 2%, you don't A-B test it. You iterate a totally different version of it, and you see if that, from a different angle, will out-engage, out-convert. And if it does, you can start A-B testing it. You know, don't be split testing for microscopic gains when you're at half or a third of what the benchmark needs to be.
Right. Well, it's like what we talked about, or what we frequently talk about on this show, of the difference between optimizing, iterating, pivoting, right? If you're looking to, you may need to pivot and create an entirely new offer or something like that, then yeah, you're right. It doesn't make a ton of sense to A-B test. And, you know, with testing one element at a time, what it kind of makes me think of, which I don't know if this will be helpful for listeners, but it's just a metaphor that clicks for me. It's like if you think you might be allergic to something, right? If you're having, you know, some problems, you know, with you're getting a reaction, you're not going to cut out gluten and dairy at the same time, because then if you feel better, you don't know why. And I think it's the same here, right? If you change the headline and the button text, okay, well, which one, right, was the impact?
Right. If you have to run another test just to understand your test, uh-oh.
That test. Right. Not the most efficient use of time.
Right.
Perfect. Well, speaking of time, accidental great transition there. How long should you be running your test before? So you have your version A of a page with one subject line, your version B, you know, with a different, you know, whatever, headline. How long should you be running that test before you're concluding which variation is performing better?
Yeah. So what should happen is that you should get to what's called a statistically significant result, right? So you can definitely do split testing, significance calculator, and there's tons of free tools online, and almost all of them actually work. And the deal is you need to know. So if I go from, let's just do some numbers really quick, made up, right? Let's say I'm going to run 100 visits through a page where it went from 7.8% to 9.2%. Is that a statistically relevant result? Well, the answer is maybe. But if you have 200 visits or 300 visits, it's far more likely that that's going to be a statistically significant result. Whereas, you know, also in another situation, if you're testing a major title change or, you know, a major graphic addition, and you only had 50 visits, but you went from 10% to 17%, it's pretty likely that that's a statistically relevant result, even though the use that the test case is pretty small. Because the result was pretty big. So that's why you just use the significance calculators. It's really easy. It tells you the answer. And it just takes the guesswork out of going, have I done enough testing to really know that I learned something?
Yeah.
And if I can answer a unanswered question, unasked question, sometimes people think that I need to do this and then I'm done A/B testing. You know what I mean? So like if I do this, I run this test and I get this answer, then now I'm done and I can go back to all the things that I used to do. And for that, I would argue that A/B testing and split testing is a religion. It's something that we do. It's a practice. It's a behavior, and it never ends. Because even if your offer is converting really well, you're over time, obviously you just move to a different offer, move to a different page, move to lead nurture, move to your retention system, your referral system, and optimize those, right? It never ends, because this is where you get to peak performing assets. But the fact is that even if you feel like you're at a great spot, your market is maturing. Like you're moving from the early adopters to the early majority to the late majority, and their needs and wants are different, and your landing pages and your emails and your nurture will have to shift to align with that. So it's like, I just want you to know that this A/B testing, while it may help you in this one isolated instance, don't put it back on the shelf. Go, okay, that worked. Thank you, I'd like another. You know, like that's the deal.
Yeah. Well, change is the only constant, right? And if you aren't keeping up with that, then you are going to be falling behind. I feel like we have danced around the answer to this. And there may not be, there probably isn't. It probably is, and it depends. But I'm going to ask it anyways. How much, but we talked a little bit about, you know, significant differences, but how much better does a winning variation need to perform in order to justify, you know, and you said, you know, sharing it with my whole team if it's particularly impactful, right? In your mind, how much better does the winning variation need to be to justify that rollout?
Right. If I can answer this in a story way, sometimes people, when they launch a new website, they want to wait until it's absolutely perfect, and what could have been an 8 or 12 week process becomes an 8 month process, right? We have to get this graphic, we have to get this, whatever. Well, the moment you have any indication that your split test is outperforming the control, the one we had before, once you have that indication and it's statistically significant, you just have two more steps. All right. The first step is to actually see really quickly, if possible, if you could really quickly see what is the impact of that on sales, right? So sometimes I have made this mistake myself. Like, example, I shorten a lead form in order to raise my conversion rate by 22%. Okay, great. That's a nice number, right? Now I need to confirm with sales that I didn't punch them in the gut accidentally, right? I didn't elbow them. So like, yeah, Kevin, you took the phone number off, right? And right. Now we can't call the leads. So now we're connecting with one third as many leads as we used to be, right? So you need to do that test to make sure you didn't like solve one problem, but then literally break the next step, okay? And then what happens is sometimes when you're testing something, you want to collect a little bit of insight. This is from following up and touching leads. Like, did you find this valuable? Did you get what you expected? Is a great question to ask after you convert leads. And like, we made the mistake. We launched a new version of our playbook, and it switched from a PDF to a video. And we got some people saying, "Hey, I'm a little disappointed because I thought when I downloaded a playbook, it would be a book." I was like, oh, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I understand. So we're getting a little bit of feedback that it was a little bit of a disappointing experience. They weren't getting what they thought they were going to get. So we changed it to Growth Playbook video course, right? 10 lessons on how to do whatever. And our conversion rate maintained the same, and I wasn't giving a poorer experience. And that all came through testing. And then, wait for it, marketers, I know you guys lean introverts. Asking, did you actually get what you expected? Is there anything I could do to improve the experience? And that's how we found out. If I would have just gone off the data, I would have changed the thing. So you got to ask sales, and you got to ask the target market whether they're getting the result they want, especially if you shift an offer like that.
Yeah.
Then roll it out. What are you doing?
Right.
So why are you waiting?
Waste of daylight.
Yeah. Let's just do that in 2027. We'll roll it out. Right. What are we talking
about? Add it to the calendar.
Yeah, so there's the desire to go fast, but not make costly mistakes. So those two little checks hopefully will save you.
Absolutely. Well, let's dig into your experiences a bit more. Can you tell us about an experience that you've had with, running an A-B test and the impact that it had on future campaigns for that project?
Yeah. So I'll tell you one that I really learned that was impactful for me. A lot of times you're missing conversions because you're missing clarity. A confused or a concerned mind always says no. They don't convert. So if they're confused or concerned, they do not convert. So I learned this. I'll tell you the year. It's 2017. I could tell you the client name, but I'm not going to go into their stuff. But the deal was we were doing a competitor to like a WeWork, okay? But they were in the technology space, serving SaaS and tech startups, and so a really fun client for us. And the deal is that they offered. Kind of like a WeWork, they offered a flex desk, a dedicated desk, and a dedicated office. And we were having people request quotes, and it was converting. And one of the things that we have as a best practice was showing pricing, because a lot of companies will overlook those that don't show pricing. It's kind of like if you're shopping for a house and there's no price on the house, unless it's like the house, you're probably just going to keep looking. You're just going to discard it. Like, these people aren't even serious about selling this. So I was like, man, we're using quotes to drive leads and it's working, but we're not following like the basic rule of giving buyers the experience they want, of giving them pricing. If we put on pricing, then we will lose quotes. So the idea was presented to me that I did not like, Mallory. I did not like this idea of putting the price next to the quote. I'm like, well, why would they want a quote? We showed them the price. So we did this. We did flex desks starting at, dedicated desks starting at, and we did dedicated office offers starting at. I now told them the price. Mallory, what was the impact on the quote conversion rate?
I'm going to guess way higher.
Doubled.
Yeah.
Why do you need a quote? I just told you the price. Like, it took me a while. Like, I went back on that. I don't even want to tell you the cycles I've run trying to figure out why would a quote conversion rate double when I already told them the price. And you know what it is? Is they're concerned. They're concerned that it's out of their league. They're concerned that they're going to make a mistake. They're concerned that it's going to be something that is not in their vein. But once they realize, oh, wow, that's in the realm of possible for me, right? So I have some clarity that this is inside of the bounds of the how I think about it. Boom. Now I want to understand a quote. I want to understand the options. I want to understand how this works. And not only that, but the lead quality increased and the number of people that came out for an on-site visit increased. Crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to launch the test. I was like, this is dumb. You can't go from here's what it costs to request a quote. Actually, you can.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
I mean, it makes sense, though. Like you said, they want to make sure it's within the realm of possibility.
What does it? It's like if a house was for sale and you're like, here's the price, request a quote. I don't know. Do you need that? Like,
you know, I think of it more like a job posting, right? Like where they give a range. Sometimes the range is of like $20,000, but it's like, you know, you're in it.
Right. So we have a client that does some bespoke telecom services and we wondered why our Legion was down. And we took a section off of the page and it said starting at blank per month. And we took that graphic off because the graphic was like a little out of date. So instead of like improve it, we removed it. Whoops. Because that little starting at gave them the confidence that it's inside of their realm of possible, you know? So anyways, number one, don't be afraid of test. It's so easy to test that idea. I mean, we talked about it for 3 times longer than it took to set it up. We added starting at, you know? Don't be afraid to run that test. Because you're guaranteed to learn, right? And then number two is that, you know, now, once you get that kind of result, you start thinking about how does that apply? That's why sometimes agencies that are really doing this stuff have insights, you know, because they're actually able to apply something from a different client in a different industry straight over to you because they just run so many more reps because you're dealing with all the clients. Right. So I realized that agencies oftentimes are seen as underperforming, but a lot of times there's a lot of lessons inside of their experience bank if you get the right one.
Absolutely. Well, what are some surprising results or factors maybe that impacted conversion rates that you've uncovered? I mean, I guess it's surprising considering adding a starting at to a quote.
Right.
To a quote request. But just, you know, do you have any things that happened that were unexpected that you would want to share to kind of encourage our listeners to really engage?
So here's kind of something I've learned about lead generation that applies to not just me, but also to my customers. So I've learned that buyers are more drawn to avoiding mistakes than advancing towards a goal. So if I can help them not screw it up, they're actually more interested in that than the best way to do it. And I think that's because when we do the best way to do it, they just know that there's a sales pitch coming, you know? But if I can help them see, you know, the three biggest mistakes with your marketing budget, that's so much more helpful than the ideal marketing budget template, how to optimize your budget, right? So if I could show you the three most common mistakes and how to fix them, that oftentimes and generally will convert higher than the optimized budget blueprint, right? Although that one has alliteration, so it sounds fun. Okay, so the deal is that, you know, now you got to think about how does that apply? And here's a fun lesson that I learned. We were working with a company that does sit-to-stand desks. Okay, so I'm sitting at a sit-to-stand desk, and later I'll be standing at my sit-to-stand desk. And one of the things we did for them is we launched an ebook. I know. Oh, Kevin, it's 2024. I don't know. Wait for it. Okay. We launched the ebook, and it was the top 10 best standing desks. And I was like, that's super generic and not going to work. But what if we did, just for fun, the top 10 best and worst standing desks? I thought we were doing it for fun, but we tapped into, like, people wanted to avoid a mistake. They wanted to know what the worst ones were. Like, I'm thinking about a standing desk. I'm going to download this to see the top 10 best and the top 10 worst standing desks. Now, here's the deal. We also have a rule at Lean Labs. We do not get our customers sued. Okay? So we're not going to go and just, like,
it's a good rule.
Throw rocks at the competition and say this is the worst. Because, you know, their letter is going to, you're going to get a letter. It's going to be a really nice letterhead from your client's attorney. Right? So that's going to be the deal. Hopefully it just says cease and desist. Hopefully. Okay. But the deal is that, rather than that, we just made it around how the links that people were going to have this flexibility, we showed them funny ones. We showed them funny ones of, like, them stacking up their desk on a pile of books. We showed them funny ones of, like, people in a data center where they have the drop floor and they took the floor panel out to stand below the floor to look at their desk. And we just showed these funny ones and be like, we know that this works, but we don't have the right desk. So just invest in the right tools. And then we said, so if you're a first-time customer, use this first-time customer discount code, right, on the deal. And by having the top 10 best and worst standing desk plus a first-time customer discount code, that first-time customer discount code expired, we were able to drive 400% more leads than their existing lead magnet. We took theirs off, we put ours on. And we drove a 226%, if it's not that, it's 221%, increasing conversions from marketing from that one lead magnet that I thought was just going to be funny, but we tapped into them avoiding making a mistake.
Well, you have the numbers for your examples, you know, the percentages of changes and things like that. How are you monitoring those numbers? What tools do you recommend using for managing, monitoring your results and your A/B test, especially as you scale, right? And you're doing more of them.
Right. So I'm going to kind of dodge the tool question a little bit because it's like asking a construction worker, what's your favorite brand of hammer? Okay. What's your favorite brand of drill? And I'm not handy. So I know that they have blue ones and yellow ones. And orange ones, probably some other colors, but I don't remember. I just know I have those colors. I have a blue air compressor. I have a yellow drill. Somebody who's handy knows what I own now, but I don't. Okay. So, like, maybe it's a little bit less about that, but look, visual website optimizer, you know, ConvertKit, you know, those are some tools. We're big HubSpot fans because we want our campaign, our content, and our analytics all in one place. So it has split testing tools built in. Are they the optimal above all optimal split testing tools? Well, actually, no. But we have found a massive productivity of having it in one place to where I don't have to log into 17 different things just to launch a split test. So there's a give and take. Which one's right for your company? It depends, y'all. You know, so I'm gonna kind of go, you need the right tools for the right time. I would start on having your campaign, your content, you know, your data analytics, and even your customer engagement all in one place, like a HubSpot. But you might, in some instances, especially as your company size and complexity increases, if you allow that complexity to occur, danger, you might need some more advanced tools on top of that. Hopefully, it feeds the data right in so you don't lose your mind. That's my tool answer. But if you don't mind me also kind of talking about this a little bit, the bigger piece is, once you have the tools, how are you using them? How often are you using them? How many people buy HubSpot because it has split testing, but they're not actually running it? So, like, that's the deal. It's not just having the right tool, but it's having a commitment to use it. And I would argue that if it's not on your calendar, then you haven't made the commitment. So,
yeah.
what if the what if the, you know, CEO said, hey, I want to have a twice a quarter call just to talk about what's happening with our split testing results. Twice a quarter call, 20 minutes. Just tell me what you tested, what you learned. You're doing it every 45 days, 20 minutes. Well, that can help split testing actually occur and make sure we're using the tools. Because, I mean, I do a lot of growth assessments. And most companies, not only are they not trying to improve their numbers, they don't even know their numbers. And I'm talking to the marketers. Sorry, guys, for calling you out. It's just true.
Right. Well, that kind of dovetails into one of the final questions I want to ask here, which is roadblocks, right? If you're not engaging with your tools and you're not completing it, that's a roadblock that you may run into. But I'm more looking into the reasons behind, right? What are some challenges, things that trip companies up the most when it comes to approaching A/B testing?
I would argue that the biggest challenge actually isn't in A/B testing. It's in the way you do your budgets and priorities. And so if you haven't dedicated a budget towards it, then you're not going to get it. It's not going to happen. So most companies are all gas and almost no steering, right? So what we do is we divide our teams and we actually have a little bit of healthy tension. Well, let's call it tension, right? So like, Mallory, I think you know, and if y'all listen to me for a while, you'll figure out that I'm just going to call it what it is. So I rarely am on the gas team. I tend to be on the brakes and steering team. So other people are pushing out marketing, and I'm sitting there going, well, this isn't working to metrics. This isn't working to metrics. This is underperforming. This didn't work. That's not fun coming from your boss, but I'm the head of I will hold the bar. Okay? And so generally what happens is we divide our marketing budget into a percent of gas and a percent of brakes and steering, right? To figure out what's working, why it's not working, turn around the things that aren't working, or literally cut them off. And then once you have that steering budget, we call that growth-driven design. So like, we're going to design things and we're going to test them and continually test them until they meet or exceed benchmarks, or they will die. If we can't get there in a few cycles, we're looking not to give up, we're looking to remove it, you know? And the way we do that, if this is fun for you, it's great, which is we use a 50-30-20 split. So let's say that 50% of your budget is used to driving more people in, and let's just say for the starting point, although it doesn't have to be there, 50% of your budget is optimizing the system that you have so you can have profitable marketing. 50% of our audience just went, wait, I don't have 0% budget of making my stuff convert better. I'm like, I know, that's why it underperforms. Okay. And then now that you have that, how do you use that budget? Well, 50% of your performance optimization budget should be split. 50% of that should be just fixing the ideas that you already have that are live, making small improvements to them over time. Only 30% should be testing a new idea or a new lead magnet. I'm pumping the brakes on testing a new lead magnet, a new workflow series, a new whatever. Why would you make a new one? The current house is in disrepair. Don't have a house in disrepair and then go build a new house. Now you got a house to fix and you're building a new house and you wonder why your budget's constrained. All right, so 50% is making what we currently have work at peak levels. 30% is testing a new idea, and then 20% is just keeping my powder dry for what comes up as I'm doing my analytics reviews and, you know, optimizations and things that pop up across the quarter. Because normally if you have no powder dry, things happen and you're not responding to it at all. So, and that's a really good way to drop the ball, is to have no dry powder for marketing.
Absolutely. Well, this conversation has been super enlightening, fantastic, about all things A/B testing. To wrap up, what is an unconventional optimization tip? Something you'd suggest companies test that they probably haven't considered, that we haven't talked about a ton yet.
Right. So split testing in marketing, it's not an actually crazy new idea, but what if marketers were to help their sales team split test their sales offer? Have you ever split tested your sales offer? How does it work with a long-term contract versus a one-month trial contract? What's the impact on that on your conversion rate? Right? The fact is, if you can't win the first 30 days and they hate you, they're probably going to cancel their long-term contract anyways, regardless of what your document says. So why not split test the terms of your offer? Why not split test the guarantee on your offer? Why not split test the, you know, things that will give them confidence, especially when marketing to a cold market, that helps you win customers at a higher conversion rate? I'm often working with clients in order to make their marketing profitable. I actually am working with them on their offer that their sales reps are presenting because it's just not converting at the benchmarks needed for marketing to be profitable in their space. So it's not just split testing your lead magnets. It's not just split testing your demo page. It's split testing your actual sales offer until that outconverts the competition as well.
Amazing. It's a great note to leave us on. So thank you so much, Kevin, for chatting with me today.
So a lot of
how we can optimize things with A/B testing. Absolutely.
Right. I feel like this one's up my alley because, you know, my mantra that I love is like, be grateful yet unsatisfied. And that's what we should be. We should be grateful for the brand we have, but unsatisfied with the results that we're getting and the results that we're providing our customers. And if you can hold on to that, hold on to the gratefulness of your team and their efforts and, you know, where you're at and how you got there, be grateful for all that, but remain hungry to do better. You will get there.
Absolutely. I think that our listeners will be able to use these insights to kind of start, you know, manifesting that mindset in themselves, and they can start producing strategies that really work for themselves and their teams. So thank you everyone out there for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so that you don't miss any of our episodes. And if you have a second, just take a few seconds and click and rate and review the show on your podcast application of choice. Until next time, this has been Growth Team Radio.
Want to grow your business? Trying to find the right path to do it? Well, we've got the answers. Go to stopscaling.com. Yes, you heard right. Go to stopscaling.com, where we'll show you the exact way to grow your business this year.